everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Lily Tu, Vice President of Business Development and Consultant Relations at Sage. For those of you who don't know me, I moved my family from New York to Austin and joined Sage at the peak of COVID. Fun times. In many ways, I think this podcast is extremely timely because COVID has changed the way in which we live, how we view the world, and effectively how we invest. Today, we will be discussing the nonprofit world and investment solutions in today's environment. I'm excited to, quote unquote, sit down with the CEO, CIO of Sage, Bob Smith. Don't worry, folks, we are socially distant in our respective homes. Bob has worked with so many iterations of nonprofits and brings a lot of context to this conversation. I would say the one thing I know about working with nonprofits from my prior experience is that each endowment and foundation is unique. So Bob, let's get to it. Sage has had a long history of working with nonprofit organizations. What would you say are the important factors to consider when working with nonprofits?
Well, good day, Lily. It's nice to be talking to you about one of my favorite subjects. And, you know, with regard to COVID and COVID-19, obviously for you, you know, it's been it was a tough move, and we're very happy that you finally made it to Austin. But, you know, this is something that has significantly disrupted economic activity around the world. And, you know, everybody has kind of been affected by this. And COVID-19 has been very central to, you know, the not-for-profit community in a lot of different ways. You know, if I were to sit here and kind of examine how the not-for-profit community is kind of come into the sustainable investing experience, I kind of break it down into about maybe three different, you know, examples. The first one I would draw upon is that we see that there are organizations that are looking at sustainable investing and ESG, or environmental, social, and governance kind of integration, to kind of express through their investment process their institutional values, either in the way of divesting from companies or really gravitating more towards certain companies that are emphasizing a particular value that they feel is really core to their organization. Another way that we see people kind of approaching, you know, kind of sustainable investing at this point from the not-for-profit community is that they're attracted to ESG integration really for its investment risk kind of mitigation aspects, and this is helping these organizations to avoid, you know, long-term investment risks that might be associated with issues like exposure to overvalued carbon-based investments, or investments in companies with low diversity and poor community relations. I think the last way that we see them getting involved in sustainable investing is that everybody is concerned about growth and development of their organizations. We are, you know, and that same is true for not-for-profits. And some of these organizations may be more concerned about giving their donors more of a choice in how they actually invest their money, and thereby through kind of ESG integration, they may be able to better incorporate actual donor values into their investment values. And as a result, potentially generate, you know, future endowment contributions that, you know, prior to, you know, their move towards sustainable investing might not have come their way.
That's great input, Bob. I think it would be helpful for those listening to understand how one would optimize a portfolio with some concrete examples. Can you provide a few?
Well, I think that there are a few things that you have to think about as you, you know, look at, you know, the challenges and kind of, you know, looking for solutions and so forth. I mean, if you're going to be looking to build a sustainable kind of investment focus, you know, first and foremost, what you have to do is define kind of what is the organization's range and depth of its sustainable investing focus. And so, you know, what do we want to align with? You know, is it going to be a broad focus, or are we going to align with perhaps an accepted framework like the Sustainable Development Goals of the UNPRI? So there are lots of questions that I think organizations need to, you know, think about, you know, whether or not you're going to incorporate kind of negative socially responsible screens as well as positive screens, kind of supporting social justice or environmental sustainability, human rights, you know, healthy communities, whatever those issues may be that are most important to you. So those are things that you have to do first. The second thing is you've got to identify kind of the scope of your sustainable investing effort by asset class, by, you know, not only asset class, by what strategies, and also by how much money or share of the reserves of the organization are going to be devoted to this. Is it going to be 100%? Is it going to be 10% or somewhere in between? So again, what is the size of our commitment to this? I think the other thing too that's important, you know, if you're going to go out and do this, you want to identify the organization's kind of ESG requirements, kind of what are their minimum commonly accepted standards that can be monitored. We want to be able to identify, you know, what are the minimum requirements that if I'm going to invest in this way, what are my basic minimum standards that I hope to get from an ESG standpoint, from a sustainable investing standpoint, you know, that I can see, I can measure, and that I can at least over time see that there's progress being made. And then the last part of this, I think, is that you have to be active. This is not a passive game. You have to embrace active stewardship through proxy voting, you know, engagement with companies and governmental bodies and regulators and other stakeholders, other like-minded organizations. There is strength in numbers. And so it's really, really important that that you do have this engagement across many different channels as you move into a greater sustainable investing kind of process. So it really is something that has to be constructed with intention, that has to be executed with consistency, and that there has to be a degree of adaptability in terms of what life throws at us and what the markets throw at us.
You know, as we've talked to many endowments and foundations over the years, you know, it's clear that a lot of these non-for-profit organizations are really starting to focus on ESG strategies. And it sounds like it's a really great way for advisors or consultants even to really engage with some of these organizations and be a differentiator. Bob, I know you've seen a lot of data points and seen a wide adoption of ESG within this world. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I have seen a lot of things go by in time. I think you're referring to perhaps the fact that I might be a little bit older than you at the moment, Lily. But I think that in looking at adoption trends, it's very important because those trends can really give you a lot of different indications in terms of, you know, the strength and the vibrancy of a movement. And one thing I would say is that, you know, since the 2015 IRS notice that really permitted endowments of U.S. private foundations to consider the relationship between their investments and the foundation's mission, all we have seen has been a significant increase in interest in responsible investing in essentially the aftermath of that decision. Now, for example, you know, in 2019, FEG, Fund Evaluation Group, did their community foundation survey of 112 foundations across 35 states. And they found that the interest in responsible investing had almost doubled since their 2017 survey. And that indeed the number of organizations that invested in this way had nearly tripled to almost half of all the respondents in the survey. It is almost exponential growth. And so, you know, when you sit there and look at it and say, wow, this is really meaningful. Community foundations in particular, which is, you know, one slice of the not-for-profit community, are evidently targeting ESG investing strategies to complement the positive effect of their charitable grant programs. And, you know, the assets allocated to ESG strategies, they believe, I think, you know, may enable community foundations to invest in stocks and bonds and all kinds of asset classes based on, you know, these ESG principles. It's a very powerful connection for them in terms of what are we trying to get done as an organization and how can we really amplify or leverage our ability to accomplish that through our investment process. I'll give you one other. CapTrust, is a reasonably large investment consulting organization. Just this May, reported in their second annual endowment and foundation survey of more than 130 organizations across a broad variety. They had religious guys, they had educational, they had charitable missions of all different ilks in there. They found that 30% of the respondents were committed to ESG investing, and indeed another 9% plan to become involved or increase their allocation to ESG funds. And this is a fairly significant group in terms of the absolute dollars that they controlled. I think that there are a couple of notes that came out of this, and that one was that their researchers found that several national grants, as I had said before, are now only awarded to foundations that invest in ESG, only awarded to those who invest in ESG funds. Haven't seen this before. And by not investing in those funds, they believe, the researchers said, that foundations could inadvertently be restricting which grants that they can access and essentially diminish their mission. That's an important consideration. Now, it's a big world out there, and there are now reportedly over 86,000 foundations in the U.S. today. And they represent something in the order of around $2 trillion of investable assets, but only 9% of that community or that universe have over $10 million in assets. So very often you found in the foundation end of the not-for-profit community that their resources are very constrained, and particularly when it comes to being ready and really embracing ESG and ESG knowledge, they just don't have the resources. And so they're looking to move in this direction. They want to build out their missions. They want to build out their donor base, their ability to access grants. The only way they can get this done in a growing number of cases now is through the ESG channel. So it really is a growth area from an investment management and a consulting service perspective that we believe that this is where growth is going to occur from a financial services standpoint in terms of the interaction with the not-for-profit community. And so as we go forward, the ability to really engage in terms of sustainable investing is going to be an important part of certainly Sage's business, but we think that this will be a growing interest within the financial community as well.
Those are some great statistics and great data points. So, there you have it, guys. If you don't start engaging with organizations on the ESG front, you'll be missing out on a large swath of the market, 86,000 foundations. That's incredible. Guys, we encourage everyone to really learn a little bit more about ESG, get started with a lot of those organizations that Bob had mentioned. Otherwise, you'll be left behind. So, Bob, just wanted to thank you for your time today, and thanks to all who have tuned in today.
Thank you, Lily, and thank you all for listening.
You can find us at sageadvisory.com, at Sage Advisory on Instagram, and on our Sage Advisory LinkedIn page. See you next time.
Sage Advisory Services is a registered investment advisor that provides investment management services for a variety of institutions and high net worth individuals. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice or an offer or solicitation with respect to the purchase or sale of any security, strategy, or an investment product. Investors should make their own decisions on investment strategies based on their specific investment objectives and financial circumstances. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. For additional information on Sage and its investment management services, please view our website at www.sageadvisory.com or refer to our form ADV, which is available upon request by calling 512-327-5530.